Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
We're going to dig into a message today, and then we're going to have some chance at the end to respond. I want to make sure there's time there. I know I say it all the time, but I really want us to get our hearts wrapped around the concept that God doesn't want to just come and watch us perform a church service. God wants us to show up ready to interact with Him, to not just sing at Him, but to sing with the Holy Spirit empowering us and enabling us and to respond to what the Word says. If the Word says to do something, we shouldn't go, "Oh, that's a good challenge," and then walk out. We should do something with it, right? That's what God wants to do through us. And so we're gonna dig into a message today. We're gonna finish up our series. This is the last week of our So Will I series. I've heard the song getting discussed a little bit. I've seen some posts on Facebook where people are sharing some different things on there, and I've heard people talking about it in hallways and before and after service and stuff. And so it's getting there. You know, they say that, you know, I'll spend a lot of time in prep on things, but when you guys walk into Sunday morning, it's the first you've heard it, right? And I'm like, "Well, come on, man, let's go." And you guys are like, "Whoa, we don't even know it yet," right? So I get all wound up about it, and you guys are just hearing it. But as we've gone through a few weeks of this series, you've had a chance to let that song, let those lyrics, let that theology, let that content fill up your spirit, and you can start responding to it because of your dwelling on it. That's what it means to meditate on the Word, right? As we think about it, we process it, and we allow it to become part of who we are, and it changes what we do and how we respond. So I see that happening, and praise God for that as we're digging into this, because this song centers on our response. So will I. That's a response, right? If all of this thing that it lists throughout it, then so will I. This song is all about a response. This isn't just a song that say, "Oh, that was nice. Good song," whatever. It's a response that we're supposed to walk and live and flesh out with our days and our hours and our minutes and our hands and our feet. So his effort in creation to reveal his character and his ways to us, his power on display through every living and every non-living thing, filling its role in that task to bring him glory. Our response is the goal of these messages of this series and of the song, that we respond, and when we get it, we'll respond. When we understand it, when we process it, when we really get that in our hearts and our spirit, we'll respond in some way. And so that's what God is trying to accomplish through us and through this series. Next week, we're going to start a new series, just a segue here, or a little insert, I guess you could call it. Next week, we're beginning a new series in the book of Judges. We're going to walk through the book of Judges. And if you've read the book of Judges, you know, you're like, "Wow, what in the world are we going to talk about in there? Because everything's going wrong." Exactly. Sometimes you can figure out what not to do by reading the Bible. It tells you a whole lot of what not to do. Not in a way of rules, do's, and don'ts, but in a way of, "Oh my goodness, that didn't work. I'm not going to do that." And so we're going to dig into the book of Judges next week. We're going to start there, and we'll be digging into that as the weeks progress on. And so if you'd like to get ahead or get ready, I would challenge you to go and read some of the book of Judges. You're like, "Homework?" Yes! Does your ever-loving soul depend on your relationship with God? Then what's a little reading homework, right? Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to be so direct. Actually, I did. But anyway, so go dig into the book of Judges, see how far you get. Just read a little bit here and there and study it and look into that. If you've got a Bible study, like a study Bible of some kind, if it's got an introduction, dig into that and read into it. So when you walk in, you're already processing with me instead of just saying, "Well, tell me what it's about, Pastor. Well, tell me what's going on." Let's dig in together and let's go after God together. Amen? So next week, the book of Judges. Okay, just see if you're paying attention. All right. Now let's dig into this week. Of So Will I, as we finish it up, our actions are what prompts the final verse of the song. It's what we've done that actually prompts this last verse. As we've been studying on Wednesday night, we've been going through the early books of the Bible and doing some overview of those. And what we've discovered these last few weeks on Wednesday night is that humans tend to make a mess out of things. God made creation and it was good. And immediately we messed it up and made it about us instead of about him. Help me preach, right? Yeah. And I go, it's him. Yeah, it's not ceiling. It's him. Okay. So we tend to do that. God keeps providing. He wants to bless. He wants to provide. He wants to see great things happening. And the more he does that, the more our humanness tends to make it about us instead of about him. And so we've recognized that early in the book, and we recognize that, honestly, don't we recognize that in our lives? I mean, the more I make it about him, the better things go. And the more I make it about me and what I selfishly want and desire and the things that I lust after, the more I realize those things don't fulfill me anyway. Ask the richest and the supposedly well-off people in our society, and they're some of the emptiest. Because money can't buy you happiness, and it can't buy you fulfillment. And enough relationships, illicit or not, they don't fulfill you the way a relationship with God does. Because it's what you were created for. You were created to be in relationship with God, as we've been seeing here. And so our sin and our selfishness are actions that have results. They bring death. Is that too drastic? No, it's what it brings. It's death. It's the end of that relationship, of that connection, whatever it causes there. So the more vividly we understand and readily admit that, the quicker we'll respond to the gospel. The more clearly we grasp the idea that when I do things my own way, I tend to make a mess of it instead of asking God how he wants it done or seeing how he wants it done. When I just keep doing it my way, I tend to make a mess of it. And the quicker we recognize that that death is brought on by our actions, the quicker we will do something about it. As though Breeze was just headbutting the floor and wondering why her head's hurt, right? Soon she'd realize, oh, it's because I'm doing this wrong. I should do it right. Yeah, that was a hard one. Sorry. Yeah, we get that. And the sooner we recognize that these actions and these selfish desires and these things that tend to run us, the sooner we recognize that, the quicker we can do something about it. I've shared this with my family in my growing up years. I learned a whole lot of what not to do by watching my brother. He pushed every rule in the book. He broke every law that my parents could invent. He just did. I don't know why. And if he was here, I'd say it, and he'd laugh. He'd probably punch me, but whatever, you know. And I just sat there going, don't do that. Don't do that. Definitely don't do that. And I just took good notes, right? The sooner I recognize those actions have responses and reactions, then I can do the right thing. And that's what God's challenging us to do. The quicker we will act differently, the quicker we recognize this difference. But the problem is that our actions have already bent this world out of shape. We already have a trail of mess following along us called consequences, right? And we're dragging that stuff around. And it's death. It's death. Broken relationships, broken situations, massive debt that is just lagging. You can't be free to give because you are so bound up by what you bought a while ago that's already broken and done, right? Oh, man, that's awful. Yeah, don't get into it. Okay, so those things that just drag around behind you, those consequences are there. But God realizes all that, and in fact, he's already taken action. That's what this last verse is. It's when we're talking about the God of salvation. The God of salvation. That's this third verse digs into what God did, what his action was in response to what our actions were. Our actions brought death. Our actions brought separation from God. And he said, that's not the way I wanted it. That's not what I have intended at all. And he took action through the person of Jesus Christ. And he restored us to relationship. He chased us down through all of our sin and our mess and our selfishness. The good news of the gospel is described here in the words of the song, on a hill you created, the light of the world abandoned in darkness to die. Jesus is the one that John spoke of in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. And here's what he said in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And in John 1:14, this is what the Word of God tells us, and this is one that you should memorize and just keep it in your heart, because it's just legit stuff. It changes you. The Word became flesh. We've heard it so many times, we don't think about it, right? The Word. Jesus is that Word that was with God in the beginning at creation. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. This is John's personal testimony. The glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God became human flesh in the form of Jesus. Personalized, personified, lived out, so that he could show us and restore us the way back to God. Present in creation, the Word became flesh and lived among us, and he took death for us. This Word spoke, and when he spoke, all of our failures disappear. The words of the song, as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. He's that powerful. We're like, well, that's not mathematically possible. I don't know how that works exactly. You know, we want to analyze it. But the truth is that all of our sins, all of our mistakes, all the consequences of that, all that death that we brought, he forgave through his death on the cross. He made a way where we couldn't. 100 billion. Now, have you tried to number your sins lately? I mean, I probably got 100 billion. You probably do too, right? 100 billion is probably a slight underestimation of the numbers of things that we've done wrong in our days. I was doing some math, and I was figuring, I don't know if you can see it or not, but like if you get really close up to the screen, this screen resolution is 1024 by 980, and you can see little bitty squares. Anybody see them? The kids with the good vision up here probably can see it. Little bitty squares. There's about 1 million squares on that screen that make up the image that you're seeing. So we'd need about 10,000 of those to have one little pixel for 100 billion. You get the picture of the grandness of what God has done? All of our sins, all of our failures, he wiped the slate clean through his death on the cross. It's powerful. He made a way. As his word came forward, all those sins and failures disappear. Every time I've lashed out at somebody, every time I've caved into temptation, every time I disobeyed, every time I ignored the truth and went ahead with what I felt like doing, every time I failed, all of them were redeemed on the cross of Christ. Once and for all. He lost his life so I could find it right here. The God of salvation is calling us to leave death behind just like he did. See, Jesus died for our sins, but he didn't stay there. He didn't stay dead because he's God of all things. He is life. And so he rose from the dead, the Bible says. And it's testified through historical records, it's testified through church record, obviously, but even through non-church records, they testify of the fact of Jesus was talked about and referred to about being alive after his death. He came back to life, and that resurrection means that he left the grave behind, and therefore so will I. That's kind of cool. I don't know if you thought about that heavily. Some of us have probably thought about it way too much because of different pains and heartaches of life that we've gone through. Some of us maybe have not thought that about this life being mortal and ending, but the fact is that because Jesus left the grave behind, we get to as well. The penalty of sin and death has been wiped clean, and now we have life eternal, the scripture tells us. The word explains that as he lives, we will too. The grave has no hold on the Christian. We've experienced more than our share of death recently. I know various funerals going on that we've had recently this last fall, and we're talking with several in the congregation. It was just like, felt like we were part of funerals, you know, on a daily basis, it seemed. It was just heavy. It's hard to feel all that weight and all that going on, all that sorrow, all that loss. Among friends, among family, neighbors, both near and far, sin and death are ruthless. But for those following Christ, death is simply a graduation. Man, we'd live differently if we really believed that, right? If we really like took that to heart, we'd live differently. It's simply a graduation. Death is not to be feared. Death is not to be worried about. We act like it's the end. It's just a graduation. It's a change. And I'm going to do everything with the time I have before that, and then I'm going to really do everything with the time after that I possibly can. It's going to be a beautiful thing because we've left the grave behind. He did it, and so will we. But this also means that we live different. This God of salvation, we're all, those of us who have been in church a long time, we're kind of used to those phrases and those words. But for those who are new to church, salvation is it's a brand new thing. It's a beautiful thing where God literally forgives us of the mistakes we've made, and now we have new life in Him, and we start to walk that out. But for those of us who've been in a relationship with Jesus, I want to challenge us to make sure that we're not going back and getting the death and bringing it back. We've got to be set free of those ways, of those things. Amen? It's like laying a sacrifice on the altar and it keeps crawling away, getting up. We talk about water baptism. We talk about leaving the old life behind, symbolizing a death, a watery grave where you die to the old self and you stand alive and new in Christ. Not wet in Christ and still full of sin, but new, leaving old ways behind. I want to challenge this church, and I don't know the last time you took stock. I've got to do the same thing. But are there things in me that are not of God? They're just not of Him. I've adopted them. I've practiced them, whatever the case may be. And you know your life better than I know it. But is there parts of my life that I haven't given to Him? Is there stuff that I'm literally dragging death around with me because I'm used to it? Because I'm comfortable in it? Because it's how I'm, maybe I'm addicted to it? Maybe that's just how I do it. Maybe those are just the things that I say and what I do. I'm challenging you. If it's not above or it's not connected with Christ, then why is it part of our lives? If it's from Him, I want all of it. And if it's not from Him, I don't want anything to do with it. Have we gotten that radical lately? Or are we just really comfortable because we've been in this thing a while? I want to challenge us today. If He's left the grave behind, then so will I. That means the stuff that doesn't belong in my life, I've got to cut it off. I've got to be done with it. Dead to sin, but alive to God through Christ. The most confusing thing this world sees is people getting freedom through Christ and forgiveness and then tying themselves back up with sin and lives full of death. I'm just cutting it to the chase. How confused is the world when we tell them that Jesus forgives us of all of our sin and then we keep doing it? Right? Then we just keep practicing it and just make it a part of who we are, but Jesus will forgive it every time I ask. I don't know if it works like that, and I'm sure not going to test it. If I'm forgiven of it, I'm forgiven of it and I'm done. Just try that at home, fellas. Slap your wife and say you're sorry. That's stupid, right? Why do we think that works with Almighty God? Offend Him and then say I'm sorry and act like everything's okay. And then do it again and again. Do we think He's stupid? He's a powerful, loving God, and He will continue to forgive us when we make mistakes. But if you are willfully involved in things that just don't have any business in a believer's life, then you are testing waters that he never wanted you to try to walk on. He's challenging us to live free of sin, to walk in freedom with Christ, not just free to do whatever I feel like. Paul said everything's permissible, but not everything's beneficial. Everything's permissible, but I'll not be mastered by anything. If there's things that are mastering you, they have a hold in your life, they have a controlling situation going on where you can't, man, you gotta get that to Jesus. I'm begging you, church. The world needs to see you living free in Christ. Your neighbors need to see you free from bondage and free from addiction and free from struggle and free from the death that's dragging around behind you. They need to see you free so that you can live this thing out and he gets all the glory. Otherwise, it's confusing, right? You've all had the same experience. You've met somebody who says they're a believer, and then you see them do something that you say, well, no believer would be doing that, and you get confused, right? And you, what do? You either write them off as a phony, or you ignore their testimony. You either say, that's just fake, they're not really saved. Can't be if they're doing that. Now, I'm not saying we go judging everybody. We'll talk about judges next week, right? I'm not saying we judge everybody and we just start hammering down, you know, just laying the law down there. But that's not the idea. Our job is not to judge everybody else. But I've got to be accountable for what I do so that others can see either the glory of God in my life or the effects of sin in my life. I'm accountable for that. Not Brooke, not Breeze, not Larry, nobody else. But me, I'm accountable for that. To everyone around me, well, that's not fair. It's absolutely fair. Because nobody else can tell you what to do either. You have to decide what you're going to do. We've got to leave sin behind. Leave that old life in the grave. The song talks about what God has made and what he said, and now it talks about what he has done. Every pixel, every piece of this puzzle of this planet and everything we understand about it from a human level, from an intellectual level, from a mental to a physical, every piece of the puzzle, it's all simple brushstrokes of this masterpiece of art that God calls love. He's illustrating love through everything that we experience. He's showing it. He's displaying it. He's revealing what love is and what love does. This is what love does. It chooses surrender. The song says, if you gladly chose surrender, then so will I. That's simply saying, I'm following you, Jesus. If the God of all the universe, if the powerful God Almighty laid down authority and chose to surrender his life to death and suffering physical punishment, if he chose to surrender it because of his love, then what should I do? The same thing, right? If he gladly chose surrender, then so will I. What's the mark of a beautiful friendship? Caring about the other person. Well, no, I love friends because they make me feel happy about myself. Well, it's because they're caring for you. You got one-way friendships going on. You need to give a little love back, right? The mark of a healthy friendship is caring for the other person. The mark of a healthy marriage is preferring your spouse above yourself. Right? That should have been a little heartier. Right? The mark of a healthy marriage is preferring your spouse above yourself. If I just hold on to what I want and make her come along to that, then I'm not preferring her. I'm not loving her. I'm not surrendering my interests and desires so that she's happy. That's how a marriage works. That's how a relationship works. The mark of a healthy church is each one considering others better than themselves. That's the scripture. That's the word of God. That is love lived out. If we don't have that kind of love, then we are missing out on what God is trying to illustrate to us. Because what did he do? He sent his only son, and he preferred us above his own son. And if he gladly chose surrender, if he gave his life for love, then so will I. The mark of love is surrender. It's a submission. Jesus gladly chose it. The scripture tells us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. Let me explain that. You are the joy set before him. The cross is no joy. That's suffering and pain. But because of the joy set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame of it because he wanted to be right with you and with me. All the creative genius and power of God is replicated in all 8 billion of us currently walking around on the planet. Everyone, every person, every soul, a child that Jesus died to save. And the song comes down to this. If this powerful, great God gave his life to save them, what do I do? If this God gave, if this almighty, powerful, creative, genius, all-powerful God, if he gave his life to save them, everybody on this planet, everyone around us, then what do I do? So will I. The challenge of the song comes very clearly. He has done it all. Will you follow his example? Will you reflect that glory so that he receives that glory, that credit? Simply, will you be like him? That's when you're living in your sweet spot. Is when you are like him. When you are surrendering, when you are submitting, when you are serving, when you are giving, that's what he is and that's what he does. So it comes down to conclusion today. It's our response. What do we do with it from here? He's the God of salvation, so we follow him into salvation. If you're not saved, if you're not in a right relationship with God today, this is your moment. This is your opportunity to get forgiveness of the sin and death that you drag around, the broken relationships, the broken stuff that's going on in your world, in your life, the stuff that you've seen around you that you go, man, that's no good. I've been working with people and counseling people in recent weeks, and I keep saying this over and over again. If your options are bad and worse, sin is involved. If you've got options to choose and you've got to choose a bad outcome or a worse outcome, that's because sin is involved in the equation because God doesn't give you choices like that. Satan does. He wants you to choose the lesser of two evils. God wants you to choose the right thing that has right outcomes. You're like, well, Pastor, I can't do that from here. I understand that, and that's where sin has gotten you. But when we get right with God, then we start to follow him. And we leave death behind. So maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. I want to invite you to do that today. There's no time to wait. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen this week or next month or whatever. The fact is that you need to be right with God, not just because death is coming, but because you need life. You need life. I need life. This world is not good without the life of Christ. And you need it, and so do I. So if you bow your heads, I want to give you a chance to respond this morning. Say, Pastor Steve, I need salvation today. I need forgiveness. I need to begin a relationship with God right here, right now. If that's you, just raise your hand, make eye contact with me so that I can pray with you. Anybody here? I need to start this today. Yeah, I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I need you. You can put your hand down. That's good. Anybody else? I need forgiveness. I need to give my life to Christ today. I need forgiveness. I need a new life with him right now. Anybody else? All right, church, let me ask you to do this then. If you look back up at me, I'm expediting trying to finish up here because I want us a chance to respond so bad. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a couple of quick challenges on how we respond, and then we're going to play the song, the video that we have that we've shown you a couple of weeks now, and it's just going to be background noise so that you can go and you can seek the face of God. I would invite you to do something physically in response, not just sit in your seat and pray. If that's what you'd like to do, that's fine. But I want to challenge you to make a step, take a step. The altar area is a great place to come pray, to get up and move, whether you stand up out of your seat, whatever, but respond. If God did all this, then what are we going to do? Not what are we going to wishfully think about or feel okay with if he makes us, but what are we going to do? And here's what I want to challenge you with, a couple of thoughts. First of all, are we following his example? I'm following him into victory, not stuck in sin, tangled in consequences, but following him into victory, leaving death behind. If you've got a trail of stuff that's dragging around behind you, then you're not quite doing this right yet, and I want to invite you to get it right today, to be set free. So that you're not stuck by the boundaries of sin and by the entanglements of stuff that's gone on in your past. Yes, it's your past, and some of those things, they will follow you around because that's part of the, you know, that's part of the way the nature of things goes sometimes. But what I want you to recognize is you're not actively partaking in those things anymore. You can't do away with your criminal record, but you can stop acting like a criminal, right? Apologize if you're a criminal in the room. Kinda. Anyway, okay. So, are we following Christ? Are we doing what he says to do? Are we leaving death behind? Are we following him into victory? And secondly, are we following his lead into giving and serving? Giving and serving. What am I submitting to? What am I laying down? What am I offering? How am I, so will I? What am I doing with that? Pastor's kind of generic. Well, that's because it's your answer, not mine. I have an answer that I have to give, and I'm going to pursue that and give that to God. You have one as well. I want to challenge you. It's way more than just showing up to church on an occasion. This is a celebration point of what God's been doing all week long. That's what our services are about. This is not the fixed moment for the week. This is a celebration of what God wants to do throughout your whole week. So what is God speaking to you about following him into victory? About leading a life that's giving and serving in light of what God, who he is, and what he has done, how will you respond today? God, we sense your love. We sense your goodness to us. So we respond. Not ignorant of what it cost you, God. We're not ignorant of the difference that it made or the need that we have, God. We're fully aware and we are humbled and we are grateful. We are willing today. If you gave your life to love them, then so will we. If you gladly chose surrender, then we do too. We want to follow you, Jesus. We want to live like you because we know you hold ultimate life, the best life possible, life to the fullest. We will not settle for less. God, I speak that over our church. We will not settle for good enough or close enough or that's better than it was, so it's okay. God, we want you. We want everything you have to offer. And we don't want anything that's not from you. Help us to lay down anything that our culture superimposes on us, desires and interests and things that just happen to us because of where we live and the things that are normal around us. God, I pray that you allow us to seek you for normal, for what's right, for what's good, for what's true. God, we choose you above all else. If the wind goes where you sent it, so will I. We recognize our need and our dependence upon you. And we also recognize the clear benefit of knowing who you are and living life the way you show us. Lord, guide our steps, order us, speak to us individually, God, this week, I pray, that we will intentionally pursue following you. Just as you've chased us down and forgiven all of our failures, God, we will chase after you and the life that you bring. Show us new ways to express that so that everything we say, everything we do, brings the glory to your name so that people see you through us. Your kingdom come through us. Your will be done through us. In Jesus' name.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.